Hey, before we dive into the podcast, I want to let you know about something awesome. At the very end of the podcast, we have a really cool songwriter who's going to share some stories behind the tunes, play a little of that for you and everything. His name is Matt Jenkins, and he's this week's songwriter spotlight. So again, stick around to the end of the podcast so you can hear that.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast.
My God, wow. Hey.
The Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
You know, he's just, he's great what he's great at, and I'm good at what I'm good at, great at.
So great.
So great. Not so good. So great.
So good. What you're great at.
So good. That's great. Real quick, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Sup, y'all?
Sup.
Hi, everybody. Hey. Welcome to the podcast, episode 189. Wowie. Woo-hoo! I didn't realize we're getting close to 200. We're going to have to do something special for that one.
I think we should reenact the one of the scenes from Pee-wee's Big Adventure movie.
I think we can do better than that.
Au revoir, Simone.
Au revoir, Pee-wee.
I just got into a Pee-wee kick lately.
Yeah, I know. You've been on one for an hour before we started this.
You know, you think about all that. With everything going on in the world, Pee-wee, what he did, like, is nothing compared to, like, the Weinstein thing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he was all
by himself. I said a while back, though.
He was by himself
was that
in the
guy,
theater.
Who cares?
What's the guy's name?
I love me some Pee-wee. What guy?
The guy who got busted, like, 3 or 4 years ago for the same thing.
The older the actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
And so he got busted for the same thing as Pee-wee, and it was like, you know, but I will say something for Pee-wee. It was the early 90s, and you actually had to go out to a movie theater or go rent a video or buy a book, okay? Now you have Google Image Search. There's Fred Willard.
Fred Willard.
Why don't you just take your phone out of your pocket and go to Google Image Search and type in the freakiest thing you could think of, and guess what? It will pop up.
Not on my phone. I have Safe Search on.
Okay. Well,
Safe Search is on.
I promise
on
you, Fred Willard doesn't have Safe Search on.
I can't
on.
Tell you how many times I Google things in public. Like, I'm the guy, I'll sit there, I say Google. It's only because it's in our vernacular. I Bing things. Look, I'll actually show you. It's funny, because you guys think I'm kidding. Look, for those of you who are watching, you see them my Bing. I switched to Bing a long time ago, and it's better. Anyway, I'll go to search for something, and I'll type it in, and man, if you turn Safe Search off, I mean, you type in something like donkey, and then you do that, holy crud, the stuff that pops up. I'm just saying, you start to scroll down, you get 3 or 4 rows of pictures down, and you're like, whoa, don't look.
Did you guys ever see the second Pee-wee movie?
Nope.
Big Adventure? Yeah, or Big Top Pee-wee.
Big Top Pee-wee.
Yeah, I did.
It was not as good, but man, it's hard to beat that first one. That first, man, it just starts off strong.
Yeah.
You know, making breakfast and taking his bike out.
What do they call those machines? The, now I forget.
Something jewel?
No,
it's not.
Like to make a better mousetrap thing or whatever.
Yeah, what do they call those? Yeah. Someone, quick, hurry.
Someone, be smarter than us because it's easy.
It's like a complicated machine that does something simple.
I'm not even trying to think. I'm just letting people get a second to catch up.
Yeah, okay.
Get in here.
Yeah, what is that called? Come on, y'all.
Something machine.
It's a...
Better. I'm now going to bing it.
Dang it. Who can get to it faster? Machine.
I just put mousetrap machine. Rube Goldberg.
There you go.
Goldberg machine.
I knew it was a wrestler. when he gets on that bike, man... And Hi, Francis. You know what today is, Pee-wee?
No.
Today is my birthday.
And then Pee-wee says something smart, Alec.
Like, well, happy birthday. And he says,
Happy Francis.
My father said that I can have anything I want.
And I want your bicycle.
It's not for sale. Oh, God. So great.
Did you see the new one that came out like last year? The one where he goes on the trek.
I did, and it was pretty good.
It was really good.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
It had the hunky actor, and they get on the motorcycle, and Pee-wee's got the little tiny car. And
yeah,
yeah.
I don't remember anything about it. I just remember that it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it was better than the second Pee-wee movie.
It was way better than Big Top Pee-wee. Anyway, for those of you who have not seen even the first Pee-wee's Big Adventure, go and watch it. Large March. Whenever you do watch it, tell them Large March sent you. Dude, I still can't watch that because, like, I get, you know, when I saw it, I was a little kid, and like, I'll watch that, and I'm like, I get all nervous waiting for Large March, and it's just like claymation.
Yeah, it's not even done well.
It's not. It's horrible.
It's not scary
but
at all.
That's what gets me.
I haven't seen it in 20 years. Like, I was so scared of it as a kid. Even as an adult, I don't want to see it.
Tell them Large Marge sent ya.
I hated the whole scene when they were with the dinosaurs, you know, him and Simone were running around at night.
Sitting up in the dinosaur?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a boy. Anyway, but you should go see it again for the very first time. I'm ready. I've been ready. I'm ready to do this. Let's do this.
I'm a rebel.
That's so great. another great.
Have you seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Oh, yeah. It was like always on at slumber parties when I was growing up.
Slumber parties. Girls really do have slumber parties?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We call them, what do we call
them? Sleepovers?
It's a sleepover. We're going for a sleepover.
No, like girls, you had serious, like slumber parties with invites and the whole thing.
With invites? What do you mean?
Yeah, like you would send out invitations.
Oh, like a legit, like a birthday
party. Yeah, and it was a whole big drama in like fourth grade because, you know, you only invited certain girls.
And don't tell the other girls that.
Oh, no, you told the other girls that you weren't invited.
Oh.
You know, the worst. I'll say this. Right. It's really bad now because of social media. Man, I sit there and I watch my daughters freak out. Or even sometimes my son. He'll be like, why didn't I get to go to the sleepover? And like his friends will be having, it'll be like four or five
social
of his friends.
Social media has made that. Like when we were kids, you would not know what everyone else was doing.
You didn't know until Monday at school. And by that time, it was over, so it didn't matter. Yeah. Now you see the live updates, whether it's Instagram Live or whatever, and it gets them really fired up.
I'm a grown man, and I see my friends doing something sometimes on Facebook and go, hey, nobody told me they were all doing that.
Yeah, just like the way I feel sometimes whenever I see Patrick and Carson hanging out, you know, with Luke Bryan. I'm like,
that's different. That's just because you're not invited.
Why did I get invited?
No,
you probably were invited, and then something went wrong with your cat.
If I could get into Bubba's email, wow, that's some real life stuff right there. Did we ever tell that story?
Which one?
You and your cat. What show was that?
Tim and Faith.
Oh, the Tim and Faith concert where Bubba didn't go.
No, we had bets. Bubba's not going to go. Here's the thing.
So Bubba will occasionally ask to go to something, and then the night it'll happen, it shows up, and then he cancels.
Some catastrophic incident will happen.
Catastrophic.
And that one, it had to do with this. Hey, and Patrick and I had this bet. I'm like, there's no way. Was it you who was going to say no way?
I said, there's no way he's showing up. And he's like, I don't know.
I think he's going to do this. We had such a big thing on it. Like, you know, we had like, because he knew we had a bet.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was there to prove, like at 7 o'clock. I was ready to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
We were
6
going,
o'clock.
Dude.
Group text, hey man, seriously man, there's something wrong with the cat.
The cat.
Something wrong with the cat.
The cat has a swollen paw.
What happened is, she was trying to swat a wasp and the wasp stung her paw, and I swear it looked like she had an extra, like it was as big as half of her head.
Yeah.
Her paw was like way oversized and it was
giant.
What
did they do at the kitty emergency room? Did
they
just
there.
Tell
they're
you
at the Tim
go
and
home?
Show. No one was there.
They gave her some medicine, some little kitty antibiotics and things to help her with the pain and all that. Because where there's
did
swelling,
they say this
pain.
Could have waited till tomorrow?
Did they say it's
she
an,
was
it's
in
an,
pain?
No, it's an worried. Animal. It's an animal, and it happens in you know the real world all the time.
Well,
and they're fine.
With a cat, it's weird because like if it's like, and they didn't know if it was a break or swelling. Like they basically said, okay, here's the deal: you can get out of here with the medicine. And it'll be, you know, $50. Or you can get out of here with x-rays. Because we can't tell if it's broken or if it's a bite. We can't find any kind of sting or anything like that. So it's either $50 or $350. It's up to you. And I went, let's do the $50 and, you know, see what happens.
So
I'm
you're
cheap.
Telling me you didn't even pay for the x-rays? You missed Tim and Faith. and you didn't even pay for the x-ray.
But I got given the kitten medicine.
Could have given Advil and been fine.
Yeah. I mean, could you have traded your Tim and Faith tickets for the x-rays?
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably.
I'm just saying.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? You know what I liked about it, though? Was that...
That extra seat next to
me. I had that empty seat next to me where Bubba was supposed to be.
Was there an armrest in between?
Because
if there wasn't, that's nice. Because you can kind of...
I think in those seats, you can pull them up.
Pull them up. So, man, I had like the double seat. I had, had my jacket on that seat.
That thing pokes into the middle of your back.
I got to put my popcorn in that seat. Like, it was real comfortable, you know?
Hey, let's play the game where you ask me if I want to go to something. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Because Bubba always pretends that we left him out. I want to say this before we play the game. If I could get into Bubba's email and see all of the invitations to things that are probably in his junk mail folder.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right now I'm having some kind of issue with Outlook. It won't even let me open it on my desktop here. The only place I can check email is on my phone. And that's the last place I ever want to check email because that means I have to reply.
Carson, you have our schedule. What's coming up? I know there was a Super Bowl party at Luke Bryan's house. You didn't know?
Do
you
want to
go to that? Do you want to go to a party with Brett? Yeah. Okay.
Right,
huh? A party with a show with
album release party
Pretty much how this is gonna go. I don't want to go to anything.
Okay. Now,
I don't
want
to do anything.
In Big D's defense, let me just explain. We are spoiled. We are completely spoiled.
It's not even spoiled. No, he ever cared.
But it's not only that. Like if Garth Brooks said, "Hey, Big D, you want to come to the show tonight? I'll give you some great tickets." Big D would tell him no.
He would be really smart and say, "Yes, give me the tickets," and then he'd hand them off to me.
But then he'd know that Big D didn't show up.
I always did that.
Yeah, you say spoiled, but I don't think that's what it is.
We're very jaded. Look at where Carson is sitting right there. And look at where Patrick is sitting right there. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, there's a seat in between. That's usually the Carrie Underwood, Luke Bryan, whomever seat. That's where they sit, and they sing to us right here in the studio. You know, we have people in the studio every week, almost every day, where they sing and perform. We are jaded as can be because we get the best performances ever.
You might be jaded. I don't doubt that. And I'm a little jaded, and I still go. He doesn't care about – he doesn't want to leave his house.
No.
Yeah.
No, not to tell tales outside of school, but one of the coolest things that D ever said to me was we had to go to something. He had to make an appearance at it. And he said, you know, all these people here, there's nobody here I'd rather spend time with than my family. And I thought that was a really, like, that to me kind of encompassed who you were.
Yeah. They're not cooler than my crew.
Exactly. So I always thought that was really a lovely way of putting it and a really good way to look at things.
That's right, guys. So shut your trap.
There's nobody more important to me than the cat.
Apparently.
I mean, same. If I had my dog had a problem, I would have skipped it too.
Yeah. The best part leading up to that, I don't know if we sold this enough, is that I knew when he asked for those Tim and Faith tickets.
Yeah.
Now, I was like, there
wait
is
a minute.
No way.
This past week, I had a chance. My daughter asked me.
Out of no point.
So
it's
she
hereditary.
Asked,
watch this story.
She asks me.
We know she's not adopted.
She asks me. She asks me for, she wants to go to the show. So I'm like, you know what? Yes.
Country radio seminar going on. And there's 15 things every night. Bubba goes, what can I bring Olivia to?
Because she asked me. She said, Dad, I want to go.
I'm like, okay, well, listen, there's a party from 5 to 7 on this day, and another one at 7, and another one at 9. So three different things. You want to go to all of those? We'll go to all of them. We won't stay late at the 9 o'clock one. Done. I make phone calls to people to specifically get Bubba's name added to lists because he's not on the list because he never shows up. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure Bubba and his daughter are on the list at all three of these parties. And I did. And when I finally got it done, I mean, minutes after I got the third one done, I sent it to Bubba and said, got you hooked up. You guys have three things to go to between 5 and 10. She's going to have the time of her life. Bubba immediately calls me and goes, dude, oh, man, I was going to text you. But then
I was in the middle of texting him.
I was just about to tell you.
No, I really was. I was just about to tell you that Olivia ended up, she is my daughter. She didn't realize she had other plans the same night with her bestie, and they had already bought tickets to a concert.
See, what had happened was her pet lizard, he got stung by a spider.
Man,
her pet rock got dirty.
our water purifier is not, I don't know what it is. It's just not.
No. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, it's good to see all the radio people now. So that was sarcasm.
we know we were letting it go though.
Yeah. 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 You know what?
You know what though? You two were made to go make two different appearances, and on one of them, you were only supposed to be there for an hour and a half, and you stayed for like 4 hours.
Yeah, because we found a group of people that we love,
and we wanted to
good
talk
friends
to.
That we and wanted to hang out with. And, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like you, I'm going to remind you of this. I have the podcast now to remind you next year when you don't want to. You know, how long do we have to stay? Like
We caught up with some good friends, and it was really nice. Yeah, it was nice. It was very nice.
So I was watching these the Olympic Games. There's some. I started looking at some of the competitions. You know, the events. The, mm-hmm. What am I trying to say?
The events.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Sport. And one of them is called skeleton. If you guys know what that is,
yeah, it's like luge, but you don't have. It's just your body head first.
It's like a sled.
You go head first.
And so you had these tennis shoes. They're real light, not tennis shoes, but almost like wrestling shoes. But they have little spikes on the balls of
the
feet.
So you can run on the ice.
And so you start running, and you have to, as you're running, it's very difficult. You have to run on ice, kind of at an incline, a downward incline. And you have to run with your sled. And it's like the old sled, like the radio flyer, yeah. You know, with the old wooden slats and all that stuff. And so you have to run and have your arm down as you're kind of running and pushing it on the ice. So it's difficult. Try running and putting your hand basically on the ground. That's hard. And so they get going.
And you got to hit it with a smooth action running and hit it down the hill.
And hit it and then jump on it and then keep going, get your balance. And then you start craziness.
You got to make sure you don't die.
Yeah, then you've got balls and the walls and all this. It's maybe the greatest, one of the great sports in the Winter Olympics. You got the hockey, you know, you got the skiing and that kind of stuff. But there are a few of them that, and I also like the one where they shoot. I forget the name of it.
The biathlon, where they shoot and ski at the same time.
A buddy of mine who did that when I was in Montana, he was on the Olympic team. He did that. Don't want to go hunting with him.
I've always thought downhill slalom could be the greatest Olympic event of all time. They take turns one at a time. They go downhill, and they have to see who can get downhill, follow the path, and get down the fastest. So they just take one at a time, and they time them. That would be the greatest Olympic sport of all time if they just made it a legit race where all 10 of you are at the top of the hill.
Oh, at one time?
You all start at the same time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
First one to the bottom. Just like think about it. In the Summer Olympics, we don't run the 100-meter dash one at a time. Mm-mm. And time everyone. No, you stand there, 8 of you in at the line,
kind
and you
like
run.
Kind of like speed skating. Because of that, because
speed
they actually are out there.
Speed skating is the same thing. They're all there at the same time.
Yeah,
first one to cross the finish line wins.
A few Olympics back where there was a pileup of speed skaters.
Yeah.
And so the guy that was literally last, because everybody else piled on the ice because somebody, I don't know what you call it.
Somebody
fell.
I would say he
basically had a blowout, but like this pile of bodies. And all of a sudden, here's the last guy because he's so far behind, he can avoid it.
He jumped all of them and he won.
And he gets the gold medal.
It's like NASCAR. You know, if you can avoid the wreck, if you can avoid the scrum,
you're good. Imagine this sport. They're all on the top of this mountain. There's 8 of them lined up. Someone fires the gun and they go. And they have to go downhill. The first one to the bottom wins. I would line up to watch that sport.
Do they have to reach the bottom standing?
I don't know.
I mean, if they go down and they're upside
down. I'm just saying,
down,
maybe
if
we
they
add
become
a hook.
A snowball because they've been somersaulted. Yeah.
Maybe we add a hook to the side of the poles so they can, you know, try to take each other's legs out. That's a sport that Americans can get behind.
Come on out, everybody, for Hunger Games on Ice.
Right. that would be amazing.
So we'll spend the next, I don't know how long is it, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks kind of watching that and, you know.
You know what that also means, though? All your TV shows are on hiatus until the Olympics are over.
Yeah.
No. Like all the other networks.
Everybody cancel
their
stuff?
Except for Celebrity Big Brother.
You got Celebrity Big Brother and then you have the Bachelor Winter Games. Our thing.
God, I don't even know what that is.
Have you seen that?
No.
I think it starts next week, but yeah, they're going to have international people who have been on international versions of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette competing in winter challenges, but also looking for love. And like half of them don't speak English. So it's going to be this whole weird mess. And I got to be, I'm not a Bachelor person, but I'm kind of down for this.
Yeah, I'll be watching that.
Well,
speaking of Hunger Games, I can't wait to see Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski doing the commentation.
They were doing it last night.
Yeah.
They were doing
I thought it was Scott Hamilton.
No, it was Johnny Weir.
And he's got, I don't know.
Frankie goes.
He gets crazy, man. It's
Frankie's
awesome.
The best.
Frankie looked at me and he goes, "Is he transgender?" That's exactly what he said. And I went, son.
Yeah, I mean, basically.
No. I mean, no, he's just fancy.
He's just fancy.
I wish that would have been my answer. I said, no, he's not.
Fancy.
Both of them have, their microphones that they hold are like, they have rhinestones all the way down.
Of course they do.
They went the straight
I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. They've been bedazzled. And then they have the other guy who's like, you know, Michael. And he's like, yeah, that was pretty cool what they did there. That little spin thing. And then, you know,
that little spin remember when thing. They went up in the air and
Johnny's like, oh, it was abysmal.
I would like to see somebody.
Oh my gosh.
I watched some guy throw some lady.
Her toe came out.
He tossed this girl and like, in slow-mo, it looked like she was just going to keep going off into space and join the Tesla Roadster.
You mean the Pomchenko? No, that's a.
Oh,
no,
is
wow.
that what it's
that's,
called?
No, that's from
that's
the
a
cutting
reference
edge.
To the cutting edge, and I'm ashamed of myself that I got it. I got the
I've
reference.
Seen the cutting edge.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can. Oh, anytime. I watched it twice in one night because
How
it was on.
How do you and Stacey not hang out?
I don't know. Like, I know. That's... Between Twilight and The Cutting Edge, she and
oh,
I need
she's
to...
like all about that stuff. And like, she's got all these weird movies that.
The
like,
Cutting Edge is a weird thing. It's like a chick cult film. It's like, you know, because usually cult
well, it's
films
like
a, are
Adventures in
weird.
Babysitting. It's one of those ones that they love and guys don't even know exists.
Yep.
Girl Like You comes along once in a lifetime or twice in the same night. That's from Adventures in Babysitting.
Okay. See, then she started quoting it and it got weird.
Because, I mean, you know, that and like Girls Just Want to Have Fun. The Sarah Jessica Parker, Helen Hunt, Shannon Doherty, Jonathan Silverman.
That plays at my house, I'm not kidding you, at least once a month.
Oh my gosh, invite me
she
over.
Has I didn't on, even know that.
Invite me over. I will do video. All the dances.
Oh
my God.
And now,
Slumber Party
Dance
above
Dance
now.
TV. I'm your host.
On my workout playlist is Dancing in Heaven because of that movie.
Oh my God.
Some random Seriously. 80s song that maybe.
So,
hit.
Y'all gonna crank call boys when you're hanging
I'm
out?
I'm telling you, that was what Slumber Parties did.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, which, That's happening. Poor parents, man. You know, back in the days of landline phones, and you'd have like that slumber party that would call up the one cute boy in the class like 80 times in one night, and you know, like his mom is just ready to kill us. Just shut! Oh my gosh!
Now
can
they
you
just
shut these girls up.
Snapchat them. And
yeah,
then
now
yeah,
they just
yeah.
Snapchat
now
them.
It's
and now that they Snapchat, and then finally one of them goes, "Oh, he replied to me." Oh, I thought my daughter, like, I swear, I thought Ava was stabbed by one of her friends. She let out this shriek that was like, I thought it was the most painful thing I've ever heard. I, you know, as a parent, there are certain sounds that you hear, and they cause a reaction. And I immediately jumped up from the sofa and ran up the stairs. I mean, maybe 2 seconds to go, you know, 40 feet and upstairs. And I burst into the room like, "Are you okay?" And they're all like freaking out because this boy replied to the thing. I'm like, I just felt so stupid.
Aww.
I'm like, this is, that's a screech of joy. That was, it was the most painful thing I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, I learned a lot that day. That's to never run upstairs anymore.
Never heard of any of those movies that you guys mentioned.
Yeah, but you're that
You don't
guy.
Have yeah, you don't have girls.
Yeah, you don't you also don't know mainstream movies
that's
that everyone
fair.
Knows.
So, I mean, if I asked you to name two Sarah Jessica Parker movies, we all know that's
oh,
not
let's
happening.
Go. Two Sarah Jessica Parker movies, D.
Who's Sarah Jessica Parker?
Email icon of our
That sounds familiar. Sarah.
Did Bubba just make a horse noise?
Yeah, he did.
Did he did?
Right. No, I sneezed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know her.
There was a rock band.
Carrie Bradshaw.
There was a rock band in Atlanta.
52?
Yeah.
Wow.
That had
She's been doing this since the early 80s.
They had a song on their album. It was an 11-minute instrumental death metal song. No words. And the title was Sarah Jessica Parker Has a Horse Face. That was the name of their instrumental song. I was awful,
poor
but I'm
SJP.
Not going to lie.
That's bullying.
It is.
I'm writing a letter.
I am writing
a record label.
Hashtag me too. Writing a letter.
No, that one isn't the same one.
No,
that's not.
Just
she wins because she's got the best shoe closet of any woman ever.
Does she?
Yeah, she does. She
they let
like,
her keep all the clothes.
They
from
did.
Sex
yeah.
And the
well,
City?
She was executive producer. She wrote that in. She also is like friends with Manolo Blahnik, who's a big deal shoe designer, and so she gets anything she wants.
I'm looking at her her shoe closet.
Oh, my God. Is it a thing?
Is it the most epic thing you've ever seen?
I mean, like in...
I'm even a little jealous of that. That's pretty...
I mean, she's got the shoes, man.
She does.
Lots of shoes.
She does.
Lots of shoes.
Jelly.
I'm looking...
I don't know.
Holy crud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I don't have a lot of shoes. I don't ever want to hear one of you say that I have too many shoes.
You have too many shoes.
Yeah, you have more shoes than the three of us put together. Yeah. And Carson's a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the record.
Wow. Okay, that was.
I know I don't contribute to that list because I have four pairs of shoes,
which is crazy. Yeah. Oh, speaking of,
by the way,
Vivica,
it's first time this week that I've worn my white tennis shoes.
Let me see, which ones are they?
This is my terrible. Old white tennis shoes, but it's the first time I've worn them this week. I've been wearing my nicer. Well,
I was going to ask you what's going on because Vivica, Patrick's girlfriend, if you don't know, if you've kind of not been clued in lately, Patrick has a girlfriend now. He's been with her for 2 months. Her name is Vivica, and she is awesome. And the one thing she said is the one thing Carson said she said, because we're getting a lot of stuff secondhand, is that she wants you to have a little style change.
And you guys did the newlywed game.
Yeah. A little style change.
Well, I don't know. I don't really want to wear more different shoes, but I probably will. I told her I got a $100 gift card to a department store as part of something from my credit card, and I just gave it to her and said, here. Just whatever. You buy it. I'll wear it. I don't care.
You didn't want to go try it on?
No, you know why? Because that's like...
Oh, that sounds like
Do you know
torture.
How much women love doing that?
Yeah, that's what? Like torture.
Trying clothes on?
No, buying stuff for our guys.
Yeah. Stacey and I did that one time.
It's like having our own Ken dolls.
We went
oh,
and we
man,
picked,
I'm the
we
ugliest Ken doll ever.
We
My
had a,
God.
We had a date night one time, and we did that. We were like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a fun one. I think it was for a Valentine's Day a while back. I'm like, I'll pick out your outfit. And then you pick out mine, and then we go out on the date, and it'll be like the perfect night ever. And it was cool. It worked out well.
Now, from Mattel, introducing Fat Ken. That's right. He's got gray hair and an unruly beard and a gut that hangs down over his belt.
I talked to a guy, speaking of, this week, who said, man, I know you guys kid about it all the time. He said, but this is the first time I've ever met Patrick in person. It was somebody who was at the seminar. And he said, I've heard you guys. He's like, I have your app. I listen all the time. He's like, I've heard you say that Patrick needs to trim his beard, and I'll be honest, you're right. He would look so much more. What was the word? He didn't
got
say
a beard
cute,
trim, by the way.
Handsome. It was some. Did you?
I just got a beard trim a week ago.
Well,
so.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
A friend of mine.
None of us noticed.
You know, this is your beard on your face, right?
Like this part.
Yeah.
A friend of mine messaged me, and she said, "I will give Patrick $100 to shave his beard.
Just shave it down,
Katie. Little Luke Bryan obsessed Katie."
No. Yeah.
Shave it off or just shave it down?
Just shave she didn't mean shave it off. She meant just really it's take it down.
It just looks like you don't have a steady job.
No, I'm going for the, you know, Duck Dynasty look. I really want this
was
to grow
great
out.
5 years ago.
I'm really trying
way to be up on the times.
Get this thing down here. Or if I can get it to grow in thicker, I will dye it black.
You're not
so
Chris Stapleton.
Jordan Davis beard.
It's not.
Yeah, like really. What is the end game? I mean,
I don't know. I like it. It's easier than freaking shaving every day.
That's your thing, man. If you enjoy it, then do it.
Bubba has the constant 8 o'clock shadow going. I'm like, I can't pull that off.
It's usually the constant 3 day shadow.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we're going to kid you about it, but if that's what you want to do, then you should.
I have a lot of pictures of me with the close shave beard, and I don't know. I think my head looks so big. This distracts you from the fatness of my face.
Frankie asked me the other day. He saw an old picture.
Just so you know, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It's in your mind.
I'm being honest with you. It doesn't. It actually makes it worse. Yeah. Okay.
Frankie actually told me the other day. He saw an old picture of me with a goatee. This is before Big D had any facial hair. Before he was actually able to grow facial hair. And said, "Dad, you ought to do that again. You looked cool." He goes, "You look dangerous." And I went, "Son, I can't do it." He's like, "Why?" I said, "Because Big D, when I shaved it off, Big D immediately grew it because he saw the window of opportunity."
No, that was 2 years.
But
it took me 2 years to grow that. What do you mean window opportunity?
Well, it must have shown up at that time. Anyway, he's like, "Oh, so you can't both have the same thing?" I said, "Nope."
Why?
Because, dude, you don't want to be the goatee brothers.
Is that the reason why you shaved yours?
I don't want to agree with Bubba, but he's a little bit right.
He's kind of right.
Yeah. I don't want to. If we both had goatees, it would be the weirdest looking. We would look like Milli Vanilli. White Milli Vanilli.
So you have to shave your beard off, D.
Why do I have to shave mine off?
So you can make my son happy.
So he can grow a goatee.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. I'll do that. I'll do it this weekend. I'll shave it off and I'll come in with no hair at all.
Don't do that. I don't care.
Okay, then I won't. I'm easy.
You're good.
Problem solved.
Hey, by the way, you guys.
Dude can't shave that off, by the way. Kathy would not let him.
So you guys have got to go watch Black Mirror. This season's Black Mirror is
I haven't
so
seen this
good.
Season. I've the only
first
seen season
episode,
one.
I thought of you, Bubba. The first episode, have you seen it?
Is it the Star Trek one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy cow, it's good.
I can't watch it without Stacey. That's the whole, you know, we can't watch our shows by ourselves.
It's literally next on my binge menu.
It's really good. And the second
one
is
good. There's not a whole lot of episodes, so it's easy.
Oh, I've never seen it. I've never seen Black Mirror at all. That's why I've got to binge the whole thing.
The second episode of season one was
weird.
I'm like, it ended kind of strong.
It had a good end. You really do yourself a favor to skip all that. It's because it's super British and weird and hard to understand.
It's not weird because it's British. It's just weird because it's weird.
It's just, they made it weird to be weird. You would be better off just starting off with Black Mirror now.
No, I don't know that first one with the very first episode with the Prime Minister.
Because I watched one episode like of season one. I watched the first episode and then what is it, season four? And then
I don't know.
Whatever it is. Okay. I can do that. Because, save me some time. Appreciate you. There's lots more TV to watch.
There was a show on BBC a couple of years ago, like right after The Walking Dead came out. The very next zombie show that I ever watched was this show. I forget what it was called. But basically, the premise was the zombies, they were able to come up with a drug that turned them back into human. Like it kind of healed them. But they were still undead and whatnot, and they still whatever. But they had to fight their urges. They had to keep themselves medicated so they wouldn't break out and start eating people again. But it was really interesting because it was a really brilliant take on racism, because you had, you know, the non-undead people were hating on the undead people. And then there was this confrontation. It was only, I think it only ran for like two seasons, but it was fantastic. I mean, I was so pumped up. I was very sad. One of my favorite characters died at the end of season two. And I'm like, I was distraught. And the way they left it hanging, I'm like, well, at least they'll fix it in season three. They'll come up with some kind of nothing. They canceled it.
Yeah, British TV always does that, man. Like they will run you short. Like you think, there's got to be no more seasons. Nope. We're done. Bye.
Big D's big into British TV.
I can't stand British TV.
Really?
Awful.
I love it so much.
Doctor Who for life, just, baby.
First off, it looks like they filmed it with technology from the 40s.
It's gotten better.
And it's like, you're like, what is wrong with what are they filming on? It's awful. The colors are weird. The way it just looks is odd. And then they're always in weird suits and hats. And then they go, I don't need five of you. You're like, what did he say?
I do have to put on subtitles. I have to do the closed captioning.
And then you're watching it. I'm reading it. And I'm missing it. And it's constant. And then I go, oh, my God. Then I become aware that I'm trying to watch and read. And then I get into this weird up and down thing. It's a lot of work.
Well, it was called In the Flesh, by the way, the BBC series. If somebody wants to go watch it, it's amazing. It's got great episodes up until the end of the show. And then you're left hanging.
Hmm. Yeah. Hey, after the podcast, we're getting close to wrapping this up, but we've been doing this singer-songwriter thing where we have songwriters come on. It's called a Songwriter Spotlight, and we do it on the show. It really kind of started off as, you know, we wanted to see how it would go. Honestly, when we used to work in another company, a big corporate office company,
we tried doing this.
We tried to do it, and they're like, no, people hate that. We're not going to do that. And so we kind of got poo-pooed on. And so we didn't do it. And then
Can I say exactly what our old boss said?
What did Doughboy say?
Nobody cares about songwriters.
Yeah.
Exact line.
And it's a guy who was in charge at the time. He was a huge influencer on all these boards, like the CMAs.
And now he works for a songwriter.
Yeah, he does. I forgot how you put it that way.
The
but
guy
yeah.
who said no one cares about songwriters now took a job for a songwriter. I would love to let that guy know.
A group of them.
So the very, very powerful ones.
The idea came back, actually. I don't know if y'all know this, but it was Brett James. I was at a songwriter's round, and Brett James was playing, and he was telling stories, and he was hilarious. And I was like, man, we got to do this.
Yeah.
So he was the reason that I remembered we should start. We should do that. No one, who's going to tell us we can't do it now?
Yeah, now that we have our own company and we run the show, I mean.
We have had some really great songwriters come in. But Matt Jenkins is today's guest, and Matt Jenkins can sing.
I didn't know that he was an artist beforehand. And that probably happens a lot, doesn't it? And he came in and was great. And I wasn't real familiar with him, but really became a fan pretty quick of him. So that'll follow the podcast if you want to get to hang on and listen to that.
Does that mean it's time for that?
Yep, it's time for that.
For those of you who are watching on Facebook, go ahead and download the app, the Big D and Bubba app. That way you can catch up on all the podcasts there. Same thing, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, however you listen to the podcast, and you'll be able to get all that extra stuff as well. And for those of you who are listening right now on the actual podcast, we're going to go ahead and end the show and put Matt Jenkins on.
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay.
It can't be over. I forgot to say the sponsor. Once again, thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Listen to the regular show on the radio.
Oh, that's smooth.
Every day.
Very smooth. Like that.
Yes.
It was the podcast.
Hey, part of our songwriter spotlight joining us this morning is Matt Jenkins. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
Good morning.
Good to
see
you.
There we go. Now I got his microphone on.
Good morning. Right. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. So, we love the story behind the song.
Yep.
You know, the songs. Country music is really kind of, it's built on that. And I don't know, have you ever heard of any of the genre music that does anything for the songwriter?
You're asking like... You know, do they support the songwriter?
Like anybody. I don't think everybody else really.
Like in pop, they don't care. I mean, no one.
Like there'll be 15 people who wrote a Beyonce song, and nobody knows who they are.
Right? They'll come in and literally, like, you'll be a part of a song, and then they'll send it to somebody else, and send it to somebody else. So totally different.
Do you ever talk to those songwriters from other, like, the pop world or whatever?
I do. I do sometimes. You know, some of them have. It's a different thing. It's like they don't even know what to expect. When we sit in the room together, because it's such a foreign concept, you know? And we're so lyrical, like you said, it's so lyrically based here. We care about the lyric, and we really care about the lyric. We're really fighting for stuff like that. So I think it's really foreign to them. They may be more concept driven or melody driven or whatever. And so
they're looking for the groove and the hook, and that's about it.
Yeah,
and then they fill in the gaps.
I start looking at some of these songs that you've written, and you're just like, wow. You know, speaking of pop. Setting the World on Fire with Kenny and Pink.
Yeah.
It was involved in that.
Total. You can't even dream some of this stuff up. I wrote that with Ross Copperman and Josh Osborne. And Ross produces Dirks, produces Brett Eldridge. And I loved it. And, you know, you write songs day in, day out. Sometimes you think they're good. And sometimes you know songs are really special, but you don't know if they're going to find a home or where they're going to find a home. But one of the publishers sent that to Kenny Chesney. And funny enough, I actually heard that Pink... So they were going to do this duet, and they were going to release it, and then some timing with her record coming out, they had decided that wasn't even going to come out. And literally, she got pregnant, and so they put all her stuff on hold, and so the single ended up coming out. And so literally, the songwriter's fate of our livelihoods sometimes hangs in the balance.
The difference between a pretty good day and a great year.
Yeah, a great year. So I'm grateful that she... Maybe drank too much wine one night.
something happened.
Something happened, and then
got a number one.
I got a number one. So it's one of those things. Looking back, I'm like, oh god, I'm so glad I didn't know that at the time. I would have been
just stressed out.
Yeah, I'd have been stressed. But some of it, so much is out of our hands as far as you just do your job and hope the stars align. But when I heard that, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding.
Can we hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, of course.
Like, and did the song the way you guys had it envisioned originally, is that the way it ended up being, or was it, or did it kind of take on its own little?
I mean, I would say it kind of took on its own.
Play the way you originally had it.
Honestly, it stays pretty true to the demo. Just soars more because she's belting the chorus. So My version might be a little more tame sounding.
We got drunk on La Cienega Boulevard, taking pictures of people we thought were stars. It's easy to give in to your heart. You're drunk on La Cienega Boulevard. When the song coming out of the speakers was the band that you had on your t-shirt, we were screaming cause all the streets were empty. And you kissed me and we were up all night, really feeling so good. Yeah, we got a little higher than we probably should. We were in a hotel singing in the hallway lights. We were striking the matches right down to the ashes, setting the world on fire, setting the world on fire.
Do you know this is the first time I realized it was striking the matches down to the ashes because I can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because really? I think it's, yeah, I have no idea. That's the first time I was like, oh, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, so what were you singing is the question.
I was just going, matches.
That's hilarious. Makes me think of that commercial where they pour some sugar on it. Everybody's like singing. You ever seen that commercial?
Everyone has different lyrics.
Everyone has different lyrics. Right. Big hit.
Cop Car with yes. Keith Urban.
Yes. That was mine.
I didn't know that.
That was actually, that one's a special one, man. I was doing the just kind of full-blown songwriting thing and had a few songs die in the 40s and the 50s. And actually, you know, as writers, we're always trying to identify kind of up-and-coming people that we think are talented and going to be big artists before the plane gets off the ground.
Sure.
You can be on it. And so Sam Hunt was in town and obviously gigantic star now, but back then was doing really fresh stuff. Mm-hmm. And just really fresh angles on ideas. And so I guess back in college, he got put in the back of a cop car with a girl for a few minutes or whatever, and so he wanted to write a song called Fell in Love in the Back of a Cop Car. And you know, you're always looking for fresh ideas or fresh angles on love songs or whatever, and you know, I'd never heard that angle before, so I'm like, let's do it. And so ended up finishing it and loving it. I knew it was special, and I thought it was getting, you know, it's gonna be on Sam, and Sam was kind of working out his record deal at that point, but Keith Urban ended up hearing it and putting it out, and I'd never had a song on the radio do anything, you know, go past 30 or 40. So this one, he played on the Grammys and went top 10 or whatever. And
so this was supposed to be a Sam Hunt song.
It was. And you know, fortunate for me, you know, it was a Keith Urban hit and on a Sam Hunt record. So, and it's a little more broke down kind of version than Keith's. You know, I don't think they were going for maybe as much of a radio thing. But anyway, so I'm
what's your version like?
Yeah.
Let me play this for you.
We're making you work today.
No, I love it. I love it.
We drove right past that no trespassing sign, sat on the tailgate and watched the planes take off. We thought we had all night, there was no need to rush. That's when those cops came pulling up. I thought, man, ain't this some shh, your daddy's gonna kill me. But if I survive tonight, I wouldn't change one thing. Baby, I know it sounds crazy. There was something about the way the blue lights were shining, bringing out the freedom in your eyes. I was too busy watching you go wild, child, to be worried about going to jail. You were thinking that running for it would make a good story. Was thinking you were crazy as hell. You were so innocent, you were stealing my heart. Fell in love in the back of a cop car. Yeah.
That's so great, man. You know, when you look at the songs that you've written, is there a song that you go, man, this one I just love this one. It's my favorite one.
Your favorite
that we've
baby.
Ever done. Yeah, your favorite baby.
You know, as far as hits go, you know, obviously you write, sorry, tune in here. You know, you write songs that are songs that you really love. I mean, obviously I mentioned earlier, when a big hit, Watered Down for Trace Adkins was special, and other ones that are on records. But of hits, probably maybe Song for Another Time, the guys from Old Dominion, Matt Ramsey, Brad Tersey, Trevor Rosen, are great friends, been friends for years. We were writing songs, getting cuts on other artists, and they were having started kind of having hits together. And, you know, they couldn't get a record deal for a few years, and they finally did. And so a bunch of those songs that we'd written ended up, you know, on the record or whatever. And so it's just really special to be just those years of like, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah. But as a songwriter, I would think it's really kind of a fun thing to pay homage to other songs.
It is.
And it's been done a couple of times, but this was a really fresh take where at the end of each chorus, you're saying another sad song. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like that would be difficult, but like kind of a fun exercise. Like, how do we make a chorus out of all old song titles?
Your name in every song that you can think of, and you're kind of writing them all down and you're kind of piecing it together. And those guys are so great, but for it to go on and be a hit and have a hit with your buddies is you know, anytime you have a hit, it seems so impossible. It's a really special thing, but to have a hit with your buddies is like,
can we hear a little
bit?
Yeah,
absolutely. Right now, we both know we're Marina Del Rey. Plane's gonna fly away and you'll be home. By this time tomorrow, I'll be singing yesterday. The sunshine's gonna fade, but we can't stop. So before singing, I can make you love me. Let's be brown-eyed girls, sweet Caroline, free-falling small town Saturday night. Before you lose that love and feeling, let's go dancing on the ceiling. Keep on living that teenage dream, paradise city where the grass is green. Pretty soon I'll be so lonesome I could cry, but that's a song for another time. That's a song for another time.
Man, I bet you're great at bonfires. Like, I would just want you to come to my bonfire and just hang out.
Hey.
I'd be like, Matt, pick up a guitar.
Next time you have one, I'll give you my number. Come
so forward. Good, man.
You're
a great artist. And just besides song, songwriting, you play great and you sound great. Good to see you, man.
Yeah,
thanks
man.
For dropping
Thank you for
by.
Having me, man.
Songwriter Spotlight, Matt Jenkins.